Thank you, ladies. Great job. Okay, do you have a handout tonight? We're back in Proverbs. I have on my file, I have all the messages I do. I keep all of them. I think this, the last time I was here was the very first, was I think was March 1st. So it's been almost 2 months since we've been in Proverbs, so we'll get back at it. We are in a little a section where the category we're looking at is just good advice, just some Proverbs that teach some wisdom and good advice. When I say good advice, it almost sounds human, but you know what I'm saying, good wisdom about just practical things in life. Last time we were here, and we won't review because it's forever ago, we said number three, we must be diligent to guard our affections, emotions, so we can make proper decisions. Number four, following your own plan and path is almost always turns out bad. We're going to look at one, maybe two more tonight, I think, that will help us. Number five, promises that are not fulfilled. Promises that are not fulfilled or expectations that are not realized can lead to frustration, depression. Okay? You know, Proverbs is good. It teaches so many principles like this that if we would not violate them, would help us in our relationships in life. And also, if you've been alive any amount of time, if you look at these, you realize, hey, I violated that one, and I found out that the Bible is true, okay? Hope deferred, Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. A great deal of damage can be done by broken promises or delayed fulfillment of expectations. What do these words mean? Hope means expectation. A hope or an expectation that's deferred, it's delayed, it's drawn out. The fact of the matter is, in many cases, it's not even fulfilled at all. Expectations not fulfilled that are delayed, drawn out, not even done sometimes, maketh the heart sick, wounded, weak. So if we make promises, we say we're going to do something for someone, and we don't fulfill it, we have hope deferred them. We created an expectation. We did not follow through with it. You know, it used to be, what do they say? It used to be that a man's word, you know, was as good as a contract. You know, back in the old days, you can't do it now, you'd be run over. Yeah. People used to just shake hands on agreements, okay? And people wanted to be honest. Remember, I read a story, and I'm not a Boston Celtic fan by any stretch of the imagination. My two favorite basketball teams are the Lakers and whoever's playing the Celtics, okay? Larry Bird, towards the end of his career, he was going to retire. He didn't have to announce his retirement to a certain time. And if he was still under contract past a certain date, he would have got, I think it was like $6 million or something. And the time he could announce his retirement could be after that, and he would still have been under contract, and they would have honored it and given him the $6 million. He went in before the contract kicked in and said, I just want to let you know I'm retiring. And they said, do you know that if you just wait a few days, you could announce it and still get the money? He goes, I'm not like that. Now, we don't have that kind of character anymore. And if you want to know how we don't have that character, it's in how people treat their words. What we'll say, we'll do something, and we'll just bold face lie. Just lie. I don't do good with lying. I can be patient on a few things, but when someone lies to me, they're done. When we first moved from Florida to here, I got a job overseeing a cleaning crew at a McDonnell Douglas building. It was an outside contractor company. They were about ready to lose the contract there. And And so I had had some experience overseeing crews in Florida, so they hired me. And the guy told me, hey, we need to hire a couple people. You need to really get this thing going. They're thinking of cutting our contract. So I hired a few people. He had told me a salary I was going to get. I was going to be paid monthly. He goes, you'll get this. Well, that's good. It was actually over here across from the Lakewood Golf Course, the AARP building, and there was a building across from it. It used to be McDonnell Douglas. So I hired a crew. We started turning it around. After a couple weeks, he goes, you know what? They're happy with our work. You're doing a good job and all that. And then a month later, after my first month, I was there with our crew, and I got them started. And the paychecks, it was time to pass out the paychecks. And I got my paycheck, and it was half of what he promised me. So I got a phone over there, and I called him. I said, what's up with this? He goes, oh, I never told you that. That's if you did something different. I'm like, you're lying to me. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'm going to get the crew going tonight, and I quit. I'm going home. And then, so I go home, and the crew was doing their job. It was going to be fine. He could find someone else. But he called me when I got home. I'm like, no, he was nervous. I don't want to lose that account. I want you to get back over there. I'll give you the money. I'm like, I'm not going. I said, because I can't trust you. Your word was a lie, and I'm not going to take that chance. You know, our word's important. And it's important that we don't hope defer people. Now you say, well, I'm not a liar. Well, that's good. You probably won't end up in the lake of fire. But sometimes we still do this on accident. By the way, the expectations here can be a two-way street. In other words, we can hurt people by not following through on what we have committed to. And then sometimes we can hurt ourselves when we set expectations on people that they have not committed to, and then they don't fulfill them. Be very careful about that. We used to learn in Bible college to be careful about the expectations when you set on your spouse when you're planning on getting married. Because, you know, before you get married, you don't live together and you don't have all that stuff, and all you see them is at their best. By the way, when you marry them, you see them at their best. You also see them at their worst. But we have this pie in the sky. Someone sent me many years ago, they sent me a cartoon thing, and it said, it was basically all the Disney love stories 10 years after they were married. You know, and it showed like Sleeping Beauty and everything, and she's like picked up a bunch of weight, and there's 20 kids running around their house, her hair's not combed. It's like, that's reality, okay? But we need to be careful about expectations. Frustrations hurt. The frustrations that come when expectations are not met, and even depression. Think of the two believers on the road to Emmaus. After Jesus died and he was buried, there was two of the believers going home to Emmaus, and they were discouraged. Jesus resurrected. He's walking with them. They don't know it's Jesus. And he's talking to them like, hey, why are you guys sad? And they're like, seriously? Where have you been that you don't know what's been going on? And then they told him that the one they thought was the Messiah, the Savior, he's been killed. And Jesus said, really? He takes the scriptures and he shows to them that that's what Christ was supposed to do. But the point is, they had expectations for the Savior that were not realistic. Yeah. By the way, they were not expectations that were biblical. I mean, Brother Fisher mentioned it. Jesus had mentioned on many occasions, listen, I'm here to die. And they're like, oh, don't talk like that. Oh, well, we got you covered. You know, Judas Iscariot, of course, he wasn't saved, and he was part of the plan to send Jesus to the cross, but I think part of his problem was, number one, he wanted the money, but, you know, to him, Jesus was going to be someone that was going to help them throw off the Roman oppression they were under. He would be their new king. That's not why he came. His kingdom's coming at the end of the tribulation period, which, depending on what you believe, you might be going through it. We'll talk about that another time. But all dreams and desires cannot be fulfilled. We need to be very careful. Now, I think you have this. There are three individuals who can help us, who cause us to have this hope deferred, and our hopes are not met. First, if it can be ourselves. We get something in our mind and we just think it's going to happen, and there's no reality to it at all. By the way, sometimes we set expectations for God that are not right. There is this thing, it's a word of faith movement that they believe that you can coerce God or speak God to do what you want him to do. And most of them want to be rich. God doesn't work that way. God is in control, and God does as he sees best. But I know people that have been bittered. I remember when we first moved to the other church on Pacific Avenue, we had a businessman's day. So Pastor Esposito and I, he wanted us to go, so we walked down Pacific Avenue to the businesses inviting them. And we walked into a plumbing place. I think it was, well, I'm not going to give the guy's name. And he didn't want to have anything to do with it. He made that really clear. And he was really antagonistic and almost, you know, bitter. And Pastor said, I don't know how Pastor did it, but you know Pastor Esposito. He asked him, hey, what was going on? Did something happen? And I think the guy's wife had died. He blamed God for it. By the way, that's something tragic to go through. But let's not blame God for things. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we put expectations on others that we shouldn't put. Well, I just expected that they should do this or that they should follow. By the way, when our expectations are on man and they let us down, we're going to be let down. I know being saved as long as I've been and ministry and so forth, pastors who have messed up and left their churches, and they've left disillusioned people. Why? Because their hope was in that man and not in the Lord. Okay? And by the way, I hope I never mess up, and I put safeguards to try to make sure that doesn't happen. But if something ever happens and I backslide, listen, don't be down because of me. Don't judge Jesus because of me. And I'll tell you what, I won't judge Jesus because of you. Okay? Let's just put the right, have the expectations. But sometimes we do it ourselves. Sometimes, and I mentioned it, another person is God. And not, by the way, it's not that it's God's fault. It says that we blame him. Don't blame God. Please. Understand God knows what's best. Well, I just thought if I was a Christian, all this would work out this way. You know, God might have something else for you. Well, you know, I did this, and sometimes a spouse will do something horrific and ruin their family and ruin their marriage, and someone can get bitter. Listen, God's still in control, and he can still be with your family during those times. Right. And by the way, if that were to happen to somebody, that's the only way you can actually get through those times. And then sometimes it's others. As I mentioned before, could be because we place expectations on them, but many times it's because they don't follow through on what they said. Can I just tell you something? It's not right for them to do that, but that's life, and don't let that get to you. Now, let me give you a few thoughts on this, okay? That'll help us, and it's kind of all over the map here, but I think we're good. First, never promise or commit to something if you are not absolutely sure you can fulfill it. Never promise or commit to something if you are not absolutely sure you can fulfill it. You know, some people are so quick to commit to everything, and then they don't show up. It's like, I'll do that. Where were you? Okay. Commitment ought to mean something. We promise something. Hey, can you help me with it? I'll be there. And you have no intention of being there. Okay? That's just not right. Let's learn to keep our word. If you're not 100% for sure, don't say you will. Say, you know what? I'm not sure about that, but I'll do my best. But I'm not sure, so don't count on me. Okay? Most of us, we wouldn't count on you anyhow, so that's okay. No, but just be honest about that. Now, if you can, like, hey, I'll do it, don't let anything come between it. We'll be real pointed on that in a minute. Next, if you promise something or commit to it, fulfill it and do it on time. Just do it. Yeah, but I just don't feel like it. I know, but did you commit to it? By the way, don't let your children not fulfill their commitment. You know? I don't like people that just quit. Well, my child got on the whatever team, football, basketball, volleyball, badminton, knitting, whatever it is. and they didn't get to play enough, so they're going to quit in the middle of the season. Don't let them. If they don't like it, then don't come back the next year. That's fine. But teach them to fulfill their commitment. We've had people in the past, a couple that have moved away, and they've made commitments to missions for the yearly missions commitment we make, or to the yearly building, and even though they left, they said, I made that commitment for the year. I'm going to finish it out, even though I'm not at your church anymore. Now, they shouldn't tithe at our church. Obviously, of course not. I said that with my toes crossed. No, they shouldn't. They should go to their new church. And if they would have said, listen, I'm at the new church, and the new church has a missions program, I should give to that, I would have no problem with it. But they felt like they made a commitment, and they should finish that year out. We had someone leave our church to go to another church in the area once. And they still said, I'm going to finish my year commitment to the building. Amen. Now, that's called character. Yeah. I'm sad they left our church, but that's called, you know what? I'm going to fulfill my commitment. Yeah. We promise things, and, I just couldn't do it. That ought to kill us. Ah, kill us. I can't fulfill my commitment. Let's be very careful what we do. Because you do that and it hurts people. Okay? Look at Ecclesiastes. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Well, so when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. Okay, that means when you make a vow, do it. Now, did you catch that last part? That just jumped at me right now. It's a word of prophecy. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Hello. Well, what is that saying? A fool makes a vow and doesn't follow through. So I'd be very careful. When you go to youth conferences, and I'm all for the altar call, don't get me wrong, but sometimes you get a guy, and I'm not being critical here, don't strike me, Lord, I just wouldn't do this. You know, and if you've been called to preach, get up here right now, you need to be called. They put a lot of pressure, and a bunch of teenagers come up, and 95% of them have no plan on actually following through. It's an emotional decision because everybody else was doing it. I'm not going to make an emotional decision like that. Now, if God called me and he's working on me, get up there. Okay? I'm not against them calling people up. But it's like, you better make sure. If you're saying, I had a buddy, when I went to Bible college, he was a sophomore, I was a freshman. And so one night, we had a prayer meeting together. We went outside behind the thing, we were praying for jobs. And then we were talking, and he's like, I'm going to give you my testimony. He gave me a testimony how he's called to preach. I didn't ask him for it. And he talked about how he knew God had wanted him to preach, and he fought it. And one day during the service, he started crying. God got a hold of his heart. He went down to the front. It was a pretty good story. Well, he went through Bible college. He left, and I kept up with him for years, and he never followed through on that. Now, if you go to Bible college and you don't become a preacher, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. But he told me the story, and it was good, and it was not something he was just making up on the fly. You know, that guy, he's no longer married to his wife and all kinds of nonsense and drama in his life. That all started when he didn't fulfill what God told him to do. You know, if God tells you to do something, you got to do it. If I suggest you do something, unless you work for me, if I suggest you do something and we're not sure it's God's will, that's one thing. I'm not God. Boy, if God tells you to do something and you commit to something, follow through on it. By the way, you'll be joyful. But we're kind of getting off base here. I got to stick with this. Better is it, verse 5, that thou shouldest not vow than thou vowest and not pay. Now, that's a vow to God. But when we make a commitment to anybody, I think God wants us to keep it. Look at the next one. Be careful about idly saying something that someone else could see as a promise or an expectation to be fulfilled. Okay? Be very careful. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, thou upon earth, ladies. Therefore, let thy words be few. Just kidding. We got to be very careful, because sometimes if we're just talking, we'll say something, and we didn't make a promise, but the way it's perceived by the person we tell, they think we promised to do something. And we're going to cause irritation and frustration to them. But I don't tell somebody, hey, can we do this? You know, someday we'll do that. You just created an expectation because you said someday. You're thinking, someday over the rainbow, okay? Nothing will ever happen. But they're thinking it's coming. You'd better fulfill that. Keep your word. Don't just idly say things to people. By the way, and if you do promise to do something, say, how do you keep from forgetting? Write it down, put it on a calendar, put a date, put a time, do it. Okay, here we go. Let's have the rubber hit the road here, shall we? As a parent, be careful what you promise to your children. When you promise your child something, they remember. Listen, they have a test tomorrow. You can tell them 2 + 2 = 4 100 times, and they'll forget tomorrow. But if you tell them, one day I'm going to take you to Disneyland, okay, they'll remember that until the Lord comes, which for some of you will be halfway through the tribulation, okay? They'll remember it. And by the way, some parents get frustrated with some parents. Some children are very frustrated, can almost borderline bitterness because their parents constantly do that to them. We can't do that. And you know, parents, why you do this? Parenting 102. Because you're afraid to tell your child no. Dad, can you do this? And you don't want to do it, but you don't want little Oswald to throw himself on the ground. Listen, they aren't throwing themselves on the ground at my house. And why? Because we don't have carpet. It hurts. Okay, it's hard. No, we're not going to do that. I wouldn't say no. There's no reason to be mad. Like, can we do that? No, we're not going to do that. Oh, come on. We're not going to do that. Okay, just say no. But if it's something you say, you know, I think I'll do that with you someday. You better do it. All right, children are like, yeah, I'm going to take you fishing. Then your boss calls and says, I need you to work. Oh, we're not going fishing anymore. First of all, you better get, if you have to, you better get approval from the child. You better do it like the next day after. You got to follow through on what you promised. And by the children, like, yeah, someday we'll do it. When you tell a child someday, that means we're going tomorrow. You know, we're going. Yeah, someday, next day is like, we're going today? No, that's not someday. Be very careful. You can wound your child's spirit. But by the way, if you tell them no, if you start early, they get used to no. Okay, right? If you do it, it's like, you're going to say, no, we're not doing it. They'll get used to that. Every now and then throw in a yes, but do it. Okay, but you kill their spirit if you like promise them and then, come on. Then it's like, you can't be trusted, you can't be counted on. All right, should we dig a little deeper? Okay. Be careful as a spouse what you promise to your partner. All right, ladies, leave your elbows down. Okay, this is not elbow time. Okay. Well, they'll just have to understand life happens. They don't understand. Just they don't. Just do what you said you're going to do. Okay? Yeah. By the way, just like your children, tell them no too. You want to go out tonight? No. Okay, you can't tell them the same way you tell your kids. No, please? No, dear? Okay? No, just listen. Be upfront with each other. Okay? I'd rather get in a fight by saying, no, I don't want to do it, than get in a fight later. It's like you said you would and you didn't. At least it's like, well, you're just mad because I didn't do it. Get over it. Then, like, you're a liar. I don't want to be a liar, okay, unless it works to my advantage. And then let me just say this lastly. We'll say a few comments, and we'll be done a little after. If you give me, like, 3 extra minutes, we went a little longer today with the building stuff. Find your fulfillment in God so you will not be frustrated by man. What I mean by that is this. You may have the character to follow through on what you promise, and you should. Other people may not. So be the kind of person that if someone doesn't fulfill, that you don't say, aha, Proverbs 13:15, you hope deferred me. Okay? No, that's not how it works. That's like going home and saying, woman, didn't you hear the preacher? Obey your husband. Submit. That doesn't work. All right, let's have devotions. Ephesians chapter 5. Open our Bibles before we go to bed, sweetheart. Oh, Ephesians 7. That's not working. Okay? But have the type of relationship and fulfillment in God that if someone lets you down, you cut them some slack. That doesn't mean you let them let you down 100 times. When my boss lied to me about my pay, I didn't get bitter about it. I hate him, but I'm not bitter. Okay, I just went straight to hate. Let's just bypass all that. You know what? It's like, listen, I didn't say you owe me that money. I could care less. I just didn't want to work for him anymore because I just couldn't trust him. Right. But I'm not going to let him affect my spirit. Okay? I just went and got another job. So don't, well, I'm allowed to get upset because they didn't fulfill. Now, spouse, don't take that as an advantage. Don't take advantage. Well, you're supposed to be a Christian and let it go. No, you're supposed to do your job. But I'm just saying, we will go through life and your boss will say, by the way, I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but sometimes bosses lie. Listen, I shouldn't say this, but, well, okay, I will. When I worked in Florida, and I was overseeing a cleaning crew, we worked for a company that was in Tampa. And I oversaw a store there. And what the store we had was like the top store in Tampa. And that was their big account. If there was issues, they came down. And listen, that guy would lie to his mom. I mean, the assistant president came down, and we were short on workers. They were making us work with not enough workers. And the company, the place, the mall wanted more workers, the store. And so we told him that, and he came down, and we met with their big boss, and he said, we're going to get this thing straightened out. We're going to hire more workers. We'll get it done. And I was like, amen. And so after the meeting, we went back to our office. I said, hey, we're going to find some workers. He goes, no, don't worry about it. He's a liar. And he just did that regularly. And I'm like, whatever. It was time to move on. But you know, we get a boss lied to us. I was going to get a raise, and he didn't give me the raise. You know what? Put it in God's hands. Now, if you feel you have to move to another job because there's shady stuff going on, that's fine. Don't quit until you get another job. But don't get bitter about things. Just say, you know, Lord, I hope you change their heart. But I'm not going to let that affect my spirit. Let's be more than that. Now, on the flip side, and we're done. When a hope comes through or is promised or expected, it's energizing. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. When you promise to help somebody, you promise to do something, you give your word on something to somebody, or you're going to do it, and you do it, man, that's coming through. You know, part of the enjoyment of something is planning for it and getting ready, right? Do you know that planning vacation and getting ready for a vacation, looking forward to vacation, is 5 times better than the vacation? Especially in our house when everybody goes. Okay? Vacation, it's like after 3 days, it's like, I don't even like these people anymore. It's like, but planning for it's always fun. What are we going to do this year? Hey, let's do this. Let's do that. We make plans. And where are we going to stop? We're going to do this. And by the way, we have fun. And except for those times we're in the cars together. We have fun. We have a good time. But man, that's that expectation. And there's plan. And then when it's fulfilled, though, the fact that you actually came through means a lot. And so let's just be people that keep our word. Very important. Let's pray.